am Betsy Payette. Marilyn McCarney and I are interviewing personnel who were or who are instrumental in developing Renfrew Museum and Park. Today is Monday, July 26, 1993, and we are interviewing Mrs. Marie Lancer Beck, who is currently a board member, appointed to fill the unexpired term of Undine Warner. Marie has served on the Institute's Special Activities Committee and is now a member of the Renfrew Board's Accessions Committee.
First time I ever came to Renfrew was when I was a young newspaper reporter for the Public Opinion in Chambersburg. The assignment was to do an article on Renfrew Museum. The museum had been donated in 1972, is that correct? 73. And this was the summer of 1976, and nothing had been done in the Chambersburg newspaper. So I hopped in my car and I came down and I drove up and pulled up in front of Eddie Hebb's house and knocked on the door. I thought Eddie Hebb's house across the street was Renfrew Museum. So the joke was on me. I finally found the museum, and John Deemer was the curator at that time. And he was a very lovely man who gave me a very long and extensive tour of the museum house. And I must say, I fell in love the first time I saw it. We spent a lot of time with the John Bell pottery, because that was the part of the museum for which he was, I think, proudest. And the house had kind of a quiet, almost mausoleum-type feel. It still felt very much like a home at that time, not exactly a museum, even though it had been open to the public for that amount of time. John was introducing me to the John Bell pottery, and I was fascinated by the lions. I thought they were the ugliest things I had ever seen. They have a peculiar fascination. You're just drawn to them. And I've always marveled at how they made that mane. And they actually, I think, are some of the most interesting pieces in the collection. But we had a lot of fun. It was also my introduction to spatterware. John spent a great deal of time explaining the whole process of spatterware. And that was very appealing. And there was some pretty hideous, I'm surely going to hear this. There was some pretty hideous Pennsylvania German pottery in the corner cupboard that had those German primitive pictures of chickens or roosters, and I remember taking an instant dislike to them at that time. I must say they've grown on me, though. I've come to appreciate them a lot since that time, so I hope Shirley isn't offended. But it was really a delightful treat. So I ended up taking my little article. Instead of having a 20-inch feature, I got a full page in the Public Opinion with many pictures from the collection, including the lions, of which I was so fond. My next involvement with the Renfrew came as a volunteer guide when James Koenig was here as the curator, and he needed some help with the newsletter, and I think we worked for a little while on a couple of those early newsletters, and I had occasion to give several tours through the museum and had a wonderful experience as a tour guide. In 1983, Ed and I moved to Washington, so that was a lovely excuse to resign from everything and start all over again. The only chance you get to do that in Waynesboro is if you die. But in this case, we moved away, so I had a real legitimate excuse for phasing out some of the volunteer work. But when we came back to Waynesboro in 1985, it was time to get started again. And I was recruited by my good friend Dudley Keller to serve on the Renfrew Institute's Special Activities Committee. The Renfrew Institute was a fairly new organization at that time, and she was very excited about all the possibilities for outreach. So I have served on that committee, for 4 or 5 years, and continue to sit on that committee now. It's being chaired by Sally and Andrew Sussman at this point, but Mary Caverly had done a very good job of organizing activities for that, and that has been very rewarding. I was very flattered when George Buckey approached me about serving on the board. And I must say I took a deep breath because I had promised myself that I would say no to the next thing that came along. But you know George, and I don't know anyone who has effectively said no to George. He's such a wonderful man, and he's given I don't know how many hours to Renfrew, so how could you say no? And I was really delighted. At that point, I was just finishing up my work on my master's in American history, so it seemed to be an appropriate volunteer experience that would fit in with my academic work, so I was very excited. I've only served for the past few months, since June, as I recall, and I'm still listening and learning and being very quiet and hoping that I vote at the right time when everybody else is voting and paying attention, because our meetings are packed full of decisions and progress and lots of information about Renfrew and how it's doing. And so I think for the first few months, I'm just going to be very quiet and listen and be a good student before I'll take too much of an active role. I have already been given the task, though, of forming a committee that will take a look at Renfrew's initial goal with respect to the John Bell Pottery. In all of the growth and growing that's been going on at Renfrew, that little catch line in the mission statement that calls for Renfrew to be an interpreter of John Bell Pottery has sort of somehow gotten kind of overlooked. There have been other pressing things. So we're assembling a committee right now of people who have an affection and a lot of knowledge about the Bell Pottery to take a look, a hard look, at what we'd like to do in terms of interpreting John Bell Pottery for the wider audience. And that has some very exciting long-term possibilities, so that will keep us busy for a while. My only connection with John Bell Pottery is that I had the good fortune of inheriting a piece of it, which I promptly broke. So so there's always sort of a bittersweet feeling about the John Bell Pottery. I saved all the pieces, though, but that's, what can you say? That's the way it goes. Let's see, I will be finishing out the rest of Undine Warner's term, and I'm looking forward to that experience. Let's see, before I became a board member, Renfrew, of course, being so close to our home, it's like in the backyard, my children and my husband and I have been great users of the grounds, the hiking trails, and the stream. It's a beautiful place to come. And my children have participated in everything from Bible school out here on the lawn to the Melody Earthwalker programs through the school. And Renfrew has become very much a part of their growing up and very much a part of their lives. Sarah even was photographed for the Morning Herald once planting an Earth Day tree. So we have that photograph and memories of a wonderful Earth Day ceremony as she grows. I don't know who's growing faster, the tree or Sarah, but I think it's one of those benchmarks that we'll always look back and see. It's been a joy to me to see Renfrew blossom. As I mentioned earlier, when I first came to Renfrew as an outside observer and then later as an early volunteer, it did have kind of a stuffy sort of quality about it. You had the feeling that it was very much sort of a club, that there were certain ladies who were there working hard in the Renfrew, and it had that hushed tone, I think, of walking around in somebody else's house. And I understand that in the museum business, oftentimes when you're dealing with that short period of time when the bequest has been given, that there still is sort of that residual veneration about the house, and that it takes a while, I think, before people feel like shouting and hooping it up in the yard or having a lot of fun. And I remember the jazz festival last summer in which I saw people at Renfrew I had never not seen, not only not seen at Renfrew, I had never seen in my life, coming out to hear this wonderful jazz. And I smiled because I often think that although Mrs. Nicodemus certainly had her heart in the right place, I don't know if she ever dreamed what a wonderful gift she was giving. I think she knew she was giving a treasure, but I don't think she had any idea of how many lives it would touch. And to see all those people sort of gambling on the lawn and relaxing and enjoying a beautiful summer day, wonderful music, it just made me smile, and she did a wonderful thing. But it took a while, I think, for that museum, and the Institute, I think, is a big factor in turning what I think could have been just sort of a fancy showcase into a very living, vibrant, wonderful museum. I'm also very excited about the historical interpretation that's going on through Will and Shirley and their hard work in bringing colonial cooking and archaeology alive. And that's where I'd like to see Renfrew continue to build upon the foundation of the things that they've done and give Renfrew an immediacy, a relevance to our world today. It's a reminder of how people lived a long time ago, but I think we can appreciate life seeing it through the lens of it will be two centuries by the time all this material is finished. But I think that's where Renfrew can really grow and stretch and become even more than it is. Another possibility for Renfrew's expansion and taking its place in the world, I think, is becoming a center for Pennsylvania German culture. And Shirley's done a lot of work, and others have as well, to bring Pennsylvania German authorities to our area. And I think as plans are proceeding now in the very rough stages for a symposia in the fall, I would imagine just in a wink of an eye that this could become an annual event, and that Pennsylvania German scholars from all over the state, if not all over the country and the world, might congregate here, and that Renfrew might carve out its own little niche in that particular world in terms of Pennsylvania German studies. It's a wonderful way to remember our heritage here, the studies that show America becoming an increasingly multicultural population. We're seeing that here. Look at the number of Asians and Europeans and others who've moved into the area. And I think it's nice to sort of hold back time a little bit at a place like Renfrew and preserve the magic and the character of what it was like in the 1830s, because heaven knows what it's going to be in the 2030s or the 2130s. And so it's a nice reminder of the people who really carved a home out of some pretty desperate and although fertile, some pretty dangerous country. And I think it's kind of exciting to see how they brought their values and their skills from Germany and applied it to this new land. Watching Renfrew grow and change, it makes me feel a little bit like a mother hen. It's gone from such a sleepy kind of beautiful little spot to a very active, vibrant spot. And I suspect that the children who come out here through the institute programs and the ones who take advantage of the interpretive programs, particularly the butter churning and some of the activities, the flax program, those children are going to grow up all too quickly. And they're going to come back and they're going to be bringing their children. And it won't be long before those children are bringing their children. I hope that Melody Moonwalker is still here, Earthwalker is still doing her program. But the fact that Renfrew can play so much a part in an individual family's legacy is a wonderful thing. As I mentioned earlier, I was very flattered when George Buckey asked me to serve on the board, and very eager and very happy to accept. As far as what I'm bringing to the board, I'm not entirely sure. I don't think anyone ever really knows what they're expected to bring, except a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of interest. I suppose that one of the best ways that I can offer service to Renfrew is through my experience in public relations, although I must say that they've managed to do very well on their own, very nicely on their own in terms of getting the word out and getting the public relations attention that they need and deserve. I suppose that part of it is because the media, the newspaper particularly, it's such a photogenic and such a wonderful place that they tend to gravitate and cover the events out here. But seeing things like Shakespeare on Wheels and some of the other activities out here with the Earth Day celebration and the Children's Festival, they've actually made Renfrew sort of the community's family room or the front living room where everybody comes and has a good time. And that's been very exciting. In addition to concentrating on public relations, I hope to apply the history that I've been trying to work on all these years to the exercise here at Renfrew. And I think that a lot more could be done in terms of developing a recognition for the real treasures that are inside the museum house. And I see work is already beginning in that direction, and I have every hope that in fact there could someday be little symposias or little discussions or afternoon teas at the Renfrew with explanations of maybe perhaps just one item, so that volunteers and those who have an interest in decorative arts can concentrate their energies on one particular item or a group of items. It would be wonderful if we could develop programs in which children could be involved in the museum house. I know the thought of children running around the museum house is enough to make us all turn gray. But I think with the introduction of the What's It exhibit that Dave Thomas is working on, in which children are given a chance to examine a variety of items that have no apparent use in our world today, but were certainly very useful to families in the 1830s, is kind of exciting. It engages them, and the ability to touch and be a part of these objects, I think, is one wonderful way of helping them learn about their past and making the past seem real and not something that they have to study in the book. I'm very concerned about the fact that history among many young people is viewed as something dry and boring and kind of dull. You obviously are actively involved in the preservation of history, and those of us who love it take for granted the fact that it's exciting and covers literally every subject under the sun. It makes us a little chauvinistic. I think if you don't study history, well, what's the point of studying it? But I think we're all entitled to our own preferences. But I am concerned about an increasingly complex society in which people aren't looking back, they're only looking forward. And I firmly believe you have to take a look and see where you've been before you can figure out where you're coming. And I think that there's some Pennsylvania Germans back there that have a lot to say about life and values and where we are and where we're going. So I'd like for that to come alive for children. So I'm very optimistic that Renfrew will continue its educational role in that direction.
The 1 year?
One of the programs that I participated in briefly at the Baltimore Zoo was an interesting partnership between the Baltimore Zoo and the gallery downtown. The program was called Felines, Leopards, and Lions, or something to that effect. But the children spent the morning actually at the zoo with the zookeepers studying the lions and the cats and the whole cat family, then going behind the scenes and feeding the lions and feeding the, or, and not really, watching them feed the lions. And then they spent the afternoon at the gallery with their sketch pads going through the museum in almost a scavenger hunt approach, trying to find, identify the leopards, the cats, the lions in various pieces of art in the gallery, and then they had the opportunity to sketch them. And that was a wonderful program. It brought art and the environment together. Possibly this is one area in which the Institute and the museum can work together, combining, bringing the outside into the inside and the inside to the outside. One of my visions would be to have an opportunity for a decorative arts program in which you would sketch the outside, perhaps some of the flowers and herbs from Doris Goldman's four-square garden, and then go inside and try to find those same patterns in the decorative arts collection that they have there. I don't think that that would be too difficult a job to do it. Another possibility would be to have a writer's conference, either for children or for perhaps for adults. Oftentimes we forget the adults and the children, and we should remember that we're all children, even if we're a little silver. We're all getting there. But there's a possibility of using this wonderful pastoral setting in the outside to sort of stimulate creativity and give people the kind of peace and solitude that they need to kind of compose their thoughts. So that's a possibility. The photography competition, which they have every year, I think is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And perhaps maybe we should have an indoor photography competition and let some interior photographers have a crack at still shots in the museum. Now, I know that some people might be shuttering, but it might be kind of fun to see what kind of interior shots we could do. As always, marketing is a big problem with any institute or any nonprofits. I don't imagine that there's going to be too much money out there in the future, given the way the economy is and reductions in the government. I think we're going to have to make our own magic, in large part, very much the way we've done. It's a miracle to me how Renfrew, the museum, and the institute has been able to accomplish so much on such a shoestring. It's a major miracle to me. And I think one of the most innovative things that may have gotten overlooked in the shuffle was the acquisition of the Macintosh computer, which enabled the staff to produce those newsletters and quarterlies that come out for both the institute and for the museum. And that's something we sort of take for granted, but it's an incredible tool for getting the message out and giving us a little more credibility than I think we otherwise would have. And that's one of those unsung background things that really makes a difference. But those publications are beautifully done, and they make us look like we're even more than we are, which is the whole idea of marketing and public relations. But it's exciting, and it's a wonderful outreach, and I would suggest that they're relatively well-read. Given the volume of mail that we all receive on our doorstep every night, I would bet that that's one piece that really gets its due attention. If not that day, then shortly after. I keep mine on file because they're wonderful reference materials. but they add a lot of credibility to us. And they're informative and timely, and I think have value beyond whatever information they have about scheduling and events. So that's been a very exciting change. I've mentioned a couple of special projects. I'm pretty much involved in coming up with ideas for the Institute. James suggested that we concentrate on a kite festival in March, so that's another possibility for the coming year of roping in some volunteers and getting that off the ground, pardon my pun. I would also like to see, if possible, perhaps some kind of summer camp that would involve historic interpretation, perhaps a situation where the children could participate in the cooking, an extended cooking experience under the direction of Shirley, participation in the actual architectural digs with Will. Some of that's been done individually, but it might be nice to pull it all together into a camp setting in which the children could spend a week almost living, in fact, the way they might have lived in the 1830s. And it would be wonderful to see them all dressed up in homespun costumes running around doing their chores. And I suspect that they would do the chores at Renfrew a lot more eagerly than they would make their bed up at home. But I think that would be kind of exciting and go along with the progress that's already been made in moving toward a sort of an interpretive approach to all the history that's all around us. Renfrew in 5 years, you know, who can say 5 years ago who would have predicted the kind of user traffic and the volume of people who have been here? It's interesting to note that not only does Renfrew generate its own activities and makes enough magic to last the whole year, but it's Renfrew and its grounds have increasingly been used by other groups. And that's kind of an exciting idea, this the willingness of the community to take ownership of the park and to use it. Sometimes I worry a little bit about the numbers and wonder if the park isn't being too heavily used, but I suppose in the most generous sense of the word, you would argue that it's impossible to overuse the park. I don't know, but I know that there's been some thought and concern about preserving the integrity. But I think with the exception of construction of a couple more restrooms and some more interpretation of the off-sites, that it seems to me we can probably handle the volume. We sort of become our own worst enemy. The more energy that we generate, the more people we bring here, the more work, the more problems. And the fact that we've been able to do this with such a small, small staff is really a tribute to them and to their energy. And so we don't want to overuse it. But at some point, I wonder if we'll have to say maybe our calendar is full. And when every Sunday and every Saturday in the fall, summer, and spring seasons are gone, maybe we need to catch our breath. Thank goodness we're closed in the winter. I think a lot of other people would say amen to that. I'd also like to see Renfrew work on the possibility of taking significant pieces out of its collection and making reproductions for sale. That the economics of that are something that will take a lot more study, but I'd very much like to see a little gift shop at Renfrew in which people could take a piece of spatterware home with them, or take a little rooster weather vane home and put it on their barn, or take a little sample of some of the quilt pieces. I'm talking, of course, about reproductions and copies of the museum pieces, but I think that although we'd have to explore and find out whether we would actually make money on something like that, it would be kind of wonderful if people could take home a little of the beauty that is inside. That's something for another committee. The other thing I'd like to do is perhaps work on the possibility of thematic tours of the museum. I think it would be wonderful. The Christmas tours are so very well received. I'd like to see something perhaps at Easter, which would be kind of fun, to have the rooms decorated in Easter eggs done with the natural dyes that the Pennsylvania Germans would have done, and a possibility of doing that. Perhaps there's even a possibility of focusing, bringing more attention to the maypole, although it's been incorporated splendidly in a number of the activities. Maybe we need to have just a maypole demonstration with an explanation and some of the customs and the significance. This is all, if it's historically relevant, and someone who's a better authority on Pennsylvania Germans will have to make that determination. But a resurrection of these customs, I think, would be wonderful. one of the ideas for the accessions committee that we have talked about sort of informally is the possibility of an auction. There are a number of pieces up in the storeroom which are not up from the Nicodemus property that are not appropriate to the 1830 time period. They're perfectly fine pieces, but they don't really have a comfortable home in the house. What I was hoping is that as a fundraiser, the accessions committee could perhaps sponsor an auction in which we would take a few of these pieces, subject to borough approval, of course, and have an auction with solicited donations and antiques from members in the larger community. The fact that these few pieces of Nicodemus and antiques would be on the block would be an incentive to bring other people in from the outside and be that sort of celebrity aspect. But there are a number of beautiful homes in Waynesboro and a lot of generous people, I think, who would be willing to part with a treasured piece of furniture or a treasured piece of pottery or a special plate or a bowl if they knew it were going to be auctioned off in a setting. And I think this could be a very elegant and a very wonderful event that could bring attention not only to Renfrew, but also allow others to participate and contribute in another way, aside from simply writing a check. And it could be a lot of fun. So I don't know, that idea is really pretty much just sort of out in the ozone right now. And I know that means a lot of work, and there are lots of problems with getting borough approval and making that happen. But I think it would be an exciting thing, and we could draw people from all over the Mid-Atlantic region and have it either here at Renfrew or another place that could house the numbers. And I think it would be wonderful in terms of celebrity and bringing attention to Renfrew and bringing people in from the outside. I don't know that Mrs. Nicodemus would mind. I don't know. See? But that's a project for another committee.